Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hughley is came in the game.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show T-Bill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. the face that produces the place. Tyler Milner's in the building, and the latest we have for you is the Houston Astros as they look to try to get another win, and we'll get this game and the lineup for you in just a bit as old Blue Bog is getting the ball again because who's left? So we'll get you prepared and ready for that as they face one of the Rangers' best starters in Merrill Kelly. But the big news coming from last night's win was Yordan Alvarez, as he injured himself scoring on at home plate. I don't know another way to say it. That's what happened. And it looked like there was an ankle issue. Here is his manager, Joe Espada, giving the latest update.
He's got a pretty significant ankle sprain, so this is going to keep him out for a while. Let's not get into days, weeks, any of that. We are going to take one day at a time, but this is going to take some time to heal. We don't have that many days left on the regular season. So we are going to, he's in there getting some treatment, getting some work done. So, you know, hopefully he's not out for a long period of time. You know, we need him in there, right? But those are the things that we can't control. You know, it's a freak accident, happens on a baseball field, but that's not what we need right now. But we do have guys here that understand the situation that we're in. We got talent. We got guys that want it. We got guys that can fight and get us through this stretch. And I expect those guys to do just that.
Yeah, I think Joe believes that, and I think that is good for him. But I would throw this to you and the people, Clint. When you hear his update, pretty significant ankle injury, sprain. They had an MRI. Looks like it's going to keep him out for a while. You heard him speak. Where do you lean? Do you feel like we're going to see him again this year? Or do you feel like this may be a situation where they're going to have to operate like they did most of the year and that's go without you or not?
Well, look, the report from the manager is actually positive in my opinion. I mean, after watching that ankle land on home plate, he folded that sucker up. I thought there was a good chance that we'd get a report that thing's broken and he has to have some level of surgery to repair some ligaments or something. And there's no chance he's coming back. But instead, Espada seems like, yeah, it's significant, it's serious, but there is an outside shot that he could come back. I mean, that tells me that the initial, reports are that it's not broken, which I think is a plus given what I watched. So, When it's all said and done, it's the end of the season. The reports are promising in the sense of at least they're going to try to get him ready. And I would like to think that Yordan Alvarez is a guy that if this team gets into the playoffs and he can in any way, shape, or form help him, I would think that he's going to do his damnedest to be available. And if this is just a sprain, even if it's a high ankle sprain, getting on the field and being able to have, you know, big time at bats, I wouldn't think is too far fetched. So this is positive to me, given that it's not just a, hey, he's done, we'll see you next year report coming from the manager.
Yeah, I don't feel great about him playing again this year. Jess, and you've said this, and it's odd that this is coming from me, but it is clear like his pain threshold is maybe not as high. I don't know if it's as high or what. Not sure what it is, but usually we have not seen him go out there and play, you know, through a lot of injuries. We've not seen that. And the lower half, like I don't know if he's about to Kirk Gibson this thing out here, to where, you know, he can bear, because that's what I'm picturing right now and imagining. If he got out there, all right, maybe he could be a pitch hitter, and he's gonna go and just be on the roster to pinch hit, and he's moving like Kirk Gibson. And limping around, and so I don't know, man. When they say significant ankle sprain, it immediately makes me think high ankle sprain. Those are the ones where, you know, like J.J. McCarthy for the Vikings may miss a few weeks, and we've seen, you know, other athletes miss for that. I don't know, man. I hope he does come back, because this is a really unfortunate year for him. He's going to miss over 100 games. He had missed over 100 games before he came back. He was swinging the bat well since he returned, and that big void was then filled while he was back. But boy, I don't know, man. I don't know. It does not look good for him to think he's going to play through it. So we'll see. The lineup tonight with him out of it: Pena at short, Correa at third, Altuve's at second base tonight with Christian Walker at first. Cole hitting .462 with a couple of bombs. He's in the lineup already in the five spot. It's my man. Then Jake Meyer, still hitting over .300, is behind him. Victor Caratini's catching tonight with Yiner Diaz. You don't normally see your DH in the eight spot, but he is in the eight hole tonight, with Jesus Sanchez in left field, bat ninth. And that is the starting lineup tonight. They're going up against Merrill Kelly, a pretty good guy, 12-7, 3.21 ERA. He's been really good for the Rangers since they got him in the trade with Arizona. And Blueba, we'll see what he can do tonight. But they need these men. They're a half game back of the Mariners, and the Mariners have won 9 straight after being off yesterday. They'll get back at it in Kansas City, so Big kick towards the end of the season. They got to have all of these, man.
Mariners are rolling. You got a few head-to-heads with the Mariners. We get 3 games versus 2 more with the Rangers and 3 with the Mariners. They come to Daikin Park later this week. And then you finish with the A's and the Angels. So you got to feel pretty good about the ability to finish strong. The problem is you look up, and I believe that the Mariners are going to catch the Rockies. Now they do finish with the LA Dodgers, I believe, so you do have a shot there. But yeah, you gotta figure out a way to get on a Mariner like roll and put some serious pressure on them. And in the meantime, you gotta fend off the Rangers as well to stay alive in that wild card race. So this is some big time baseball. 11 games over the next 13 days to wrap up the 2025 MLB season. And they put themselves in a position where they're half a game back to Mariners, and they got to do some hunting. So it's going to be fun to watch down the stretch.
5 o'clock fire.
And he's brought down at the 33-yard line. And that's it. It's over at NRG Stadium. The Texans give up a late touchdown to the Buccaneers, who win 20-19. And the Texans drop to 0-2 for the first time since D'Amico Ryan's first season. And they look forward to a date at Jacksonville on Sunday as they get into the AFC South.
All right, Clint. The Texans drop it 0-2. We've talked about it. We'll talk some more coming up here in just a bit. The two most important members of this organization for the Texans, we got to discuss that. We'll do that coming up in here in just a bit. But, Clint, they dropped this game, and listen, there is a lot to be disappointed in this game, but if we do look at, as Lovey would say, the positive, Clint, Frank Ross and his group were big time, and really the special team situation, Clint, was probably the only reason why this game was in a situation where the Texans had a chance to get a lead. They were absolutely sensational last night.
Yeah, look, Jakob Johnson with the block punt, which they gave it to 45 EJ Speed, but it was actually Jakob Johnson. The name they brought up was EJ Speed, but Jakob actually got that. The two big time several returns, but the two big ones, definitely the punt return that was big, and the kick return that was consistently good. From Jalen Knowles. So yeah, look, I think special teams was the star of the game and should have ultimately won the game for the Texans yesterday. And unfortunately, it wasn't enough, and the defense couldn't hold them off. But there ain't no doubt, man, the special teams were special last night.
And Fairbairn as well, who has been making kicks. He made a kick. They missed one as well. So they were really, really good. I love the point that you made, because it did seem like every time Noel was going to, if not break one, it felt like all of his returns were really, really, really promising. And then obviously he got that last one where the Texans, I think, were a little fortunate they picked up a flag or two down there on that return.
Yeah.
But I think it should hopefully lend more to an adjustment of him getting opportunities to get the ball in his hands on the offensive side of things, because right now that was good to hear from D'Amico. We just heard in the last segment that potentially Braxton Berrios and Christian Kirk could be back for the Jags game, and they need the weapons. But I don't even think that should stop them from trying to find different ways to get the ball in his hands. Because we saw last night there is some big play, big chunk play ability if you get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the biggest part of it is, other than just the product that is the punt return and kick return, when he gets the ball in his hand, obviously the end result is a beautiful thing, and there's a constant threat every time he touches it. But I think the bigger picture with Jalen Knowles is how comfortable he is with it. I mean, there is a confident that's not normal. There is a kind of float around a little bit, draw the kick coverage or the punt coverage into him, and then bounces it outside. There's the ability to change speeds and the explosiveness and the twitch to go from 0 to 100 real quick kind of deal. Like, he's got the way in which he does it, there's so much control that it gives you confidence that it'll translate to offense, and that if you just got to find ways to get him touches. This isn't a guy that can just run like the wind and hopefully he can turn the corner and get down the sideline. This is a guy that knows how to set up blocks, that's patient, that's confident, that then has the ability to turn the corner if need be. So, yeah, the Jalen Knowles,
they just don't have that many guys on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, they don't, but you're getting two of them back that do have some next-level twitch, and with Christian Kirk, some next-level speed. You got some guys that are weapons along the same lines of what you'd want Noel to be. I think the thing to watch here is do they say, okay, Noel, continue doing what you're doing. You're returning at such a great level. We're going to let you return, do your thing. We're going to leave you in that position. And then what we're going to do is we're going to get some veterans out here on the offensive side of the football to try to help C.J. Stroud, along with Christian Kirk. Hey, I don't know. I didn't think that there was going to be a huge role here on this offense for Braxton Berrios. But when you look at the preseason, the fact that he's a veteran, you look at that. I mean, he's on record with the Texans talking about, hey, I see the game through a quarterback lens. Like, you go to the line of scrimmage. I was kind of talking about it earlier, Ron, with the inability to protect. You go to the line of scrimmage, you got Christian Kirk to one side and Berrios to the other, and you slide the protection either way, and you know you're protected that direction, and then you've got one of those two guys sitting backside that can break a slant off if that linebacker comes, or they can shake somebody and give you a throw right now if one of those linebackers come. Like, that's a game changer. You know, right now you're hoping that Jaden Higgins or Hutch or Dalton Schultz or one of those guys can create that level of separation. When you got Christian Kirk and you've got a guy like Berrios that can do it, that could be a big answer to the pressure that the Texans are facing. So we'll just keep an eye on how they handle the punt return duties with Jalen Nowell. No doubt about it, he's hot right now.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the AP poll is out after a big Saturday of college football, and big movers. A&M is a big mover after they beat Notre Dame on the road in that great game. You look at Georgia. Hey, they had a tough one against Tennessee, and I'll be honest with you, and Kirby Smart said it after the game. It felt like Tennessee was the better team throughout that game, and they were able to pull that off in Knoxville. But, Clint, how serious is this? Now we watched A&M play the other teams they played on their schedule, but now they've gone on the road and they beat Notre Dame. They've got a week off now, and then they play another ranked SEC team in Auburn coming up off their bye week. How serious do you think this A&M team is when it comes to threatening to get to the college football playoff?
Oh, no, I think they're serious. I think they're definitely a real threat. I mean, I don't know that I'm as convinced as some Aggies that I've heard that Marcel Reed is going to be able to consistently go out there and do what he did. But there's to do it on primetime versus Notre Dame in that moment is a huge step in the right direction. Now, is the consistency there? Because we're no longer talking about can you make yourself the face and the quarterback for A&M and nobody doubt you, your play. If they recruit a hot young guy, does he come? You know, that kind of deal. Like, you are the guy. Like, I think this weekend went a long way for him to do that. I think it proved that A&M can beat, can beat the big dogs, and he can make plays in big moments. Now, can he be consistent? Can he do that? Because you look at it, 12, 13, 14 games is a long time, and these guys have to be really good and consistent to get there. But I think that was a huge step in the right direction. I think A&M is absolutely a real contender to get into the college football playoffs, and they got the horses, man.
That's a hell of a road win.
Monster.
That's a big win, and they get and the committee loves when these teams are playing out of conference games, especially like you look at what Georgia's schedule is. Now it'll get a little tougher because Georgia Tech looks like they're a better football team that they got to play at the end of the year. But you know they'll get a lot of points for going on the road and getting a road win at Notre Dame.
Well, what A&M needs is they need Notre Dame now moving forward to finish with. Well,
they've got the schedule to do
finish that. Strong, right? I mean, that's what they need.
They've got the schedule.
We'll see if it happens. But I think they took a huge step. I mean, Elko and Reed, however you want to look at this thing, that was a monster win, and it took A&M to another level.
Elko just named, by the way, your coach of the week. That big-bellied, loving son of a gun.
And, I mean, for an SEC schedule, man, Auburn at home, they're ranked, but that I think they're favored. Mississippi State, Florida struggling. They may not have Billy, and then they get Arkansas, and then LSU. So, that's a good four-game stretch that they can run before they run into that road game at LSU. All right, coming up, this may be the biggest thing to come out of last night's game, just big picture-wise, if we look at the first 2 weeks of the season, it has started to become clear. We'll discuss.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
People trying to develop topics on the text line. All right, who do you think is better, UT or A&M, guys?
That's a toughie right now.
Ooh-wee, boy. It's to answer that question this way by week, what is it, week four? Is that where we're at? It is crazy to think, but that is a 10 out of 10 times A&M.
Is it?
Right now? Shoot. I mean, anybody claim difference? Got to have burnt orange blood running through their veins.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, them guys have struggled. I mean, they are their offense, like statistically, it is. I say their offense. I should probably limit that to their quarterback. I mean, statistically, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the country, and they've played two of their three games have been against teams that he should have ran up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now he ran up one of them, and then he did.
He did for one half. It took him forever to get started, but yes.
And then I think 10 out of 10, A&M has the better quarterback right now. They did have the number one team in the country and lose to them by one score on the road.
Yeah.
And even with their poor quarterback play, had a bunch of opportunities. Stopped at the one. So, I mean, I think Arch is hard, but that Texas defense is nasty.
Texas is nasty. Texas is going to have a real problem if the opponent has similar dudes and a quarterback. They're going to have real problems because I don't think it's just Arch. Look, I think Arch has not been like Ohio State did. The problem with Ohio State is they also were starting a quarterback for the first time and they were in control of that game and knew that their defense was going to dominate, so they could be somewhat conservative and they got away with it. Like I think when you play a team like A&M or truth be told, there's LSU's one of them. I think Arkansas's one of them with Taylen Green. And there's a quarterback that, whether it's his arm or in the system or just the legs, that can go out there and, hell, he may put up 17, 21 points themselves, then I think they're going to struggle. The reality of it is it's not just Arch. Arch has been bad, no doubt about it. I'm not trying to minimize that to any degree, but Sark has not been good. The offensive skill, I'm a little hesitant because I want to believe what I've been told preseason about Texas, about their ability to reload at the skill player position, but it looks to me like they lack like game changing speed. With the exception, what's the one kid's name that they
number one Mingo? Yeah, Wingo. Mingo?
There you go. Yeah, there you go. That cat. It's an Ingo. I can't remember if it's an M Wingo. Or a W. But the he's special. He's different. But there's usually four or five guys that are like that with Texas, you know, and it's just not. I don't know if that's the case this year. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I don't know that they got dudes. Like, can you play A&M? If you're Texas, can you play A&M and go into that game with the horses, the athletes, the speed, the twitch, explosion, and think that you can win that game?
No.
I mean, again, I will say they had enough. They've only played one game against a team that has that, and they had to say to themselves, off especially offensively, we were terrible.
Yeah,
we were awful, yeah. And it was 14-7, including us on the 1 yard line, and couldn't get it in. Like they had the best receiver in the country, and now he dropped some, but they were able to keep him down. So we'll see what it looks like by the time they meet each other, the final game of the season. They got one more tune up against Sam Houston or hell.
Boy, is that A&M Texas game the final game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Thanksgiving weekend, yeah. Baby.
Oh my. But then they get Florida.
It's at in Austin, right?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Then they get Florida and Oklahoma. Is after Sam Houston State. And then we'll see. Those are teams that have dudes closer to them. All right, Clint, I can't help but to think kind of a big picture thing that I took away from this game, and that's listening to all the press conferences from last week and all the things that was said last week with D'Amico and CJ. Including CJ saying they were lollygagging and didn't practice well going into week one against the Rams, including D'Amico not acknowledging CJ as being the voice over there on the offensive side of the ball that is like Aziz on the defensive side of the ball, and ultimately saying it's him, to yesterday him saying there was communication issues, D'Amico saying that, and if you listen to CJ earlier today, he didn't seem to have communication issues. If you just heard D'Amico there in his pressure that we played earlier today, there was some things there, especially at the end. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I don't know what it is, but Clint, it looks and sounds like to me, for the first time, it looks like 2 weeks in a row that they're not in sync.
I want to remind everybody back in training camp when I said there's something not right about C.J. Stroud, and I got piled on a little bit about that. I said I didn't know if it's injury, I don't know if it's mental, I don't know what's going on, but there's something wrong with C.J. Stroud. And I don't know that maybe something wrong was not the right word, the right couch of that, but there is a level of frustration that stemmed, I think, from last year throughout training camp, getting absolutely destroyed in training camp to now all of a sudden you look at it. I think there is a frustration with C.J. Stroud, whether it's the first-year offensive play callers that he's having to deal with, the injuries that he's had to overcome in his supporting cast, the thought of coach after coach going up there and talking about, there ain't nothing wrong with the system, all we got to do is execute. Then there's the just getting the hell beat out of you for over a year. Like to me, here's the deal, is there is no question about it.
So you're hearing it too. You're
absolutely
feeling it.
Anybody covering this team that listens to audio, that listens to press conferences, that pays attention, you cannot deny, you cannot disregard, you cannot. There's no doubt about it that the dynamic between the head coach and the quarterback for the Houston Texans has shifted. Now you can make of it what you will of the whys and the how fars and all this. What does it mean? That's up to you to decide. But there's no doubt about it that that dynamic between D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud has shifted. You laid out several situations that are blatantly obvious in pressers and you know, through the different audios that we get from the organization. There's no doubt it shifted. Now, is that by design? And D'Amico said, okay, I got to take the kid gloves off. It's time. You got to take this offense over. It's on you. Or is there really a tug of war going on, if you will, in the sense of like D'Amico's going, because it's clear right now D'Amico Ryans is doing everything he can to cover for Nick Caley.
He's tied to him.
I don't know if it's because he's tied to him or if it's because he thinks it's the best route to make this thing work, but there's no question about it. D'Amico Ryans is putting effort into covering for Nick Caley and minimizing the shortcomings of Nick Caley that I think are blatantly obvious right now. Now, that could be inexperience. It could get better. But right now, 2 weeks into this thing, it's blatantly obvious he's never called offense. And so, the inability of D'Amico to go in and say, yeah, man, I don't know what goes into D'Amico to Nico not getting more targets in the first game. Even this week, I think, you go down there and you get second and one – you know, in a fourth and goal situation, you're targeting three straight times, and so the targets actually go up and look decent, when in reality, you did a poor job of getting the football to Nico Collins in this game as well. And so, you know, the inability to just say that and hold guys accountable, that's interesting. It's interesting, but I think it's very real. And you know, that again, I think the overall point we're trying to make here is that the dynamic has shifted.
Something has shifted.
The dynamic has shifted. I think that's undeniable. Yes.
And now it's a wonder of how it respond. I don't know, Tyler. Is it too hard? Is this? I guess the thing that's mine is like, he's D'Amico seems to be holding him more accountable or challenging him. It could be taken that way, or just being more hard on him, right? In it publicly. Like, I've never had any belief that D'Amico wasn't, you know, giving him what he needed to give him, you know, behind closed doors. But now it seems like it is publicly and almost at times passive aggressive. Like, yeah, I thought we had Nico open in the back of the end zone, but the ball was thrown out of bounds. You know, or some other things. I think he said something that was kind of passive aggressive late in his press conference today. You know, maybe not even passive aggressive, but not just saying his name out loud, but you can only understand. I don't even remember him really doing that much. I don't know. It just seems like there is some sort of a challenge or some sort of a, hey, it's right there, and I'm going to say it publicly.
It sounds like he's saying, all right, you're three, CJ. Let's grow up now. Let's go.
Well, I think guys, I think there – to me, if I had to put my finger on it, there's got to be some level of, because the communication was great. If you ask about Nick Caley, that was the improvement from week one to week two. But communication was a problem in critical situations, right? Which points towards CJ and definitely points towards the players. And so it wouldn't shock me one bit that they don't watch film and CJ is not identifying mics and CJ's not getting them out of bad plays and into good plays. And That may be the source of some of this friction, but there's no doubt about it that dynamic has shifted, and it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out.
Text line coming in, Clint, you're spot on, but I think the dynamic has shifted because CJ is coming out of his shell more. I think he is speaking up more and challenging certain things he doesn't like, and he is the one that's sick of the aw shucks love affair of our fans with D'Amico.
I don't know about the last part. I'm on record. I love what CJ's doing. I want to see frustration. I don't have a problem at all with disagreeing with the coach. If the coach comes out and says there's some kind of communication, but again, the quarterback is in the damn huddle. The quarterback is in the middle of everything. He knows if there's communication issues. He knows if somebody's lollygagging. He's in the huddle with the guys. He's in the locker room with the guys. He's got the pulse of the team more so than anybody. And so I don't have any problem with CJ Stroud. Now you got to go play well. I mean, they just showed the ball that sailed him a little bit right there that would have been a touchdown for Nico dragging his feet in the back of the end zone. I mean, you got to make that play. I mean, if you're gonna be that guy that stands up at the podium and talks about lollygagging and you're gonna hold guys accountable and two years ago
he was making that play.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was making those plays. But are you a one hit wonder or can you get this thing? Can you steady the ship here? We'll see.
Coming up, even all of that we're talking about is not the thing that jumps out as the most disappointing last night. We got to attack that. We'll do that.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, 6 to 8. I'm sure they will give their thoughts. But right off the top, Clint, D'Amico Ryans, usually the coach's show is on Mondays, but D'Amico Ryans will speak with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris coming up right at 6 o'clock. So make sure you are listening as the head coach will give his thoughts sitting down with the fellas on Texans All Access. And then Area 45, they start things off 8 o'clock, 8 to midnight. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago. I saw Santiago walk through already. He is ready to go, and they will hold it down. They'll have the postgame show for the Astros as they look to try to get another win to get to inch closer to the Mariners, who have a half-game lead right now in the division. And, of course, the Rangers are right behind both of them. So that is coming up right behind us. Hang out real quick. We got any quick best bets? Any coming up quickly? We gotta keep counting. People gotta be able to give you hell, Tyler, about your best bets. I know games are starting real soon.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll give you four best bets real quick. We're not even going to talk about Monday Night Football and those best bets because I'll just get pissed off again.
Mike Evans.
It's the only one that hit. Can always count on an Aggie. Four best bets for you tonight around baseball. A lot of these, like Show said, are starting soon or have already started. So first, Red Sox money line. They are hosting the Athletics. Red Sox money line. Next, I got the Pirates -1 run at +115 odds, as they are hosting the Cubs. Same game, Cubs and Pirates. I'm on over 6.5 in that one. That is one of the lowest numbers I've ever seen for an over-under. I don't care about the pitching matchup or what's going on. And then Braves at Nationals. They had a doubleheader today. And as this game, too, gets started here shortly, I'm on over 7 runs between the Braves and Nationals. Those are your four best bets.
Better hope the Cubs or the Pirates go off, because I'm believing that's Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
And that 6.5 is what that has.
I do care a little.
I know you care a little bit. All right. Yeah. He's 1-for-4 on Monday, trying to get back in the green. All right. Trying to get back on it on Tuesday. So see if we can make that happen. All right. Listen, we talked about a lot of things, and listen, we are not going to let the offense off the hook. They got to do better than that. But Clint, we at least here, and I think even other people realistically knew that this was going to probably be a bit of a struggle. They weren't going to roll out and just start, you know, putting up points and looking like, you know, the offense they hope to be in the future. But Clint, on the defense side of the ball, we've been talking about it. Listen, we said something will have to have gone horribly wrong if they're not a top 10 defense. And we feel like more top five and can be in the conversation for the best defense in football. And listen, they've got some things that has happened in the first 2 weeks. Like, hey, the name of the game is points. They've given up 14 and 20 in the first two games, which you'll take for the most part. But, Clint, I don't know if I am more surprised that with 2 minutes and 4 seconds left, they weren't able to hold the Buccaneers out of the end zone. That was the only thing the Bucs could do, hold them out of the end zone, having to go 80 yards. Or that a Buccaneers team that had injuries all over their offensive line and had to move guys all around and are not a traditional. This isn't the Ravens. This isn't the Lions. And they ran for 169 on them. And to boot, ran it with 9 seconds left from the two. I don't know which one I'm more surprised that they got ran through like that or they couldn't hold up in the last 2 minutes. That was that performance from the defense, even though they were clearly the better unit of the of the offense and defense, but that was disappointing.
Well, I think the 30 carries for 169 yards is a major problem moving forward. I mean, Baker Mayfield, you know, that offense with those playmakers, they're gonna get some folks. I mean, that's a pretty good offense. That's a pretty clutch player in Baker Mayfield, and they you know that's a team that expects to win the division and is going to be a really tough team to out in the playoffs. And so that part of it doesn't concern me as much as 30 carries, 169 yards to that team, missing two of their starting tackles, missing their two starting tackles. One of their guards, I believe, shifted out to tackle. So, I mean, you to go in there and let at least a couple of reserve players fold your interior defensive line and set them in the lap of the linebackers the way that they did consistently throughout that game, because there was no 70-yard carry. There was 30 for 169, and it was just constant, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 yards a pop. And so I think that's more concerning for me, Ron. I think because it happened, number one, and number two, the adjustments from D'Amico Ryans, to me, I think I don't know anybody will ever ask him, but I would think that D'Amico Ryans would like to have maybe addressed that a little bit differently. When you've got a secondary the way that – when you got a secondary that's as nasty as what we think the Texans' secondary
is. Real quick, what was the adjustment he made? Put the three linebackers in?
There was an obvious adjustment that happened when Petrie went down, then Petrie came back in the game, but it was to take your nickel out and put your third linebacker in trade, play a true 4-3 and keep guys in the box, play a little tighter box and – but you know their heels were still at 5 or 6 yards deep, and the Bucs were still able to double team the D lineman, interior defensive lineman, one or the other, and so it didn't change much, right? But you know I would think he would want to do that a little bit differently if put more onus on his secondary, but. That's the one that's going to be hard to fix. I mean, because you got Baltimore coming down the pike at some point. I mean, you look at the better teams in the AFC, the better teams in the NFC. Man, they're going to see that, and they're going to be licking their chops, waiting for their turn to run the ball downhill between the tackles. So that's something that I don't know how easily fixable that is. Baker Mayfield and that crew, they're going to have some impressive scoring drives. I didn't like it. You got to win that game, but I'm not just out on the defense because of that. Boy, that 30 for 169. Whew. That's a hard one to stomach.
Yeah, I'll have to. Man, as we talked about it before, this is a similar cast with, I guess, without Kurt Heinisch and then adding in Sheldon Rankins, who was great on the postgame show with you guys yesterday. I just don't remember, with the exception of the Ravens game, teams kicking their ass. Because you're right, Clint, they just got moved. Just absolutely moved repeatedly. And it was just like, man, every first down, 6, 7 yards. I want to see that happen to them a couple more times. They go out here to Jacksonville on Sunday, and Jacksonville starts just moving Because it is alarming, because Tampa is not at all known to be a team that just runs through people, right? This isn't the Eagles. This isn't the Lions. This isn't, you know, Baltimore. This isn't those teams, right? And their backs aren't known as that either. So, but I need to see a little bit more, because I don't remember that being a big problem last year with this group.
Well, here's the thing, and just to circle back to the biggest problem was those D-tackles getting folded is, like, a lot of people are going to focus on the missed tackles. You know, a lot of folks are going to focus on that. And to me, it's when your D-line gets pushed to that degree, your linebackers get taken completely out of the mix. The traffic that they got to go through to get a beat on a running back is damn near impossible. And then when one guy does beat a block, you know, he's got to try to get his hands on a running back that has 3, 4, 5 yards worth of space to work with, right? I mean, you want to bottle up a running back and maybe give him a crease and then get one guy free and he has nowhere to go and it's game over. Well, it was just time after time. And again, is, you know, that there would be one guy there to make a tackle. Well the running back's got a three-way go. He's got all kind of space to make a guy miss. And when there's that kind of space, NFL running backs are going to have success. I don't give a damn how good a tackler you are or you are not. NFL running backs are going to have success. And those guys ate to the tune of damn near 6 yards per carry. And it was less about tackling and more about just sheer push and space that was created because they were getting so much push. And how do you defend that? How do you answer? How do you fix that? We'll see.
Yeah, and the thing that if that becomes a problem – that is concerning is how that affects everything else that they do well on this team, right? If as we saw, that pass rush kind of slowed down a bit there in the middle where they were just running and running and running, because you're Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you're not in any down and distance where you feel comfortable where you're lining out wide and just going and coming off the ball and coming around the corner. Because why? Because they're running the football down your throat. And we would watch. They weren't even rushing at times. They were trying to do so. They were trying to stop the run. So I think it's a big thing if this becomes a problem, because now it changes their biggest strength, which is rushing the passer.
Yep.
That part got me, though. And that whole run down there, I think Baker got pressured twice in that final drive. Obviously, the one where they sent the blitz on 4th and 10 and Henry Toa missed him, and then the one where he was flushed out and still had an open receiver that he just missed instead of throwing it further on the sideline. And, man, just you thought Daniil and Will may come up with, you know, the big play, the big sack in that run, and they weren't able to do so. But it was a good reaction Thursday. Shout out to
Tuesday,
one of the T's. Shout out to D'Amico. We will be in Baytown, Buffalo Wild Wings, on Tuesday, on Thursday. So coming out and hang out. It's about time for me to roll. Shout out to D'Amico for being on the show. Kinda CJ Stroud as well. Kinda on the show. We appreciate you. Cecil Shorts tomorrow. B. Scott tomorrow. So it should be a fun show on a Wednesday. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston, we love you, baby. Our guy Dom from Jersey, what's your concerns?
This organization lied to us. They lied to themselves. They lied to the fans. They lied to Dom from Jersey. I left you with a hot take last week not to extend Stroud. This week, I'm letting you know Stroud will not be the starting quarterback by week 17. Love you, boys. Let's go, Texans.
Dom. Stop, man. Dom.
End of the year.
Man, he is. I mean, he is fantastic.
All right, thanks, Tyler. Let's roll.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.